Hey everybody, welcome to the Hologram Radio Show. My name is Cheryl Catherine Smith.
And my name is not Cheryl Catherine Smith, it's Ash Riot.
Not this week. This week Ash is actually Ash Riot. She's decided not to take on my persona.
Maybe next week.
Well, maybe I should be Ash Riot.
And I'm Travis.
Travis is our wonder dog, our studio wonder dog, for those of you who don't know who Travis is. He's actually here with us, sitting right between us. He's licking Ash Riot. Now, he's very excited about this show, because we are wanting to talk about friendship today. So, Travis, you're a good friend, eh?
He's a great friend.
He's a good canine buddy.
He's the friend.
Our show is called With a Little Help from Our Friends. Welcome to Sunday, March the 11th. What a good day. Now we have, what, we lost 1 hour of sleep.
Yeah.
How do you feel? You feel tired?
I don't know yet. Ask me later.
Ask you later? We'll ask you tomorrow. This only means that there are good things ahead. We've got spring coming up. So it's kind of cool when we've got daylight savings to kind of remind us. We got an extra hour. It seems like we're not lost in that darkness of winter. And the light's starting to shine and things start to feel pretty good. And the buds are coming out. And you can feel it in the air. So we're going to be talking about friendship. And on this show, if you looked at our blurbs or if you're reading them now, you can read along with me. What we want to talk about is what exactly is the nature of friendship and what exactly are our expectations around it. Especially today, being a social media age where we can have friends on Facebook, we can have connections on LinkedIn, we've got our tweet followers on Twitter, and everybody's feeling the sense of social camaraderie, mm-hmm. and we're connecting around the planet with everybody, people we've never met, and the resurgence of internet, like the internet dating phenomenon.
What's it called now? I see it all the time. It's like on the iPhone and BlackBerry too,
of Fish.
No, that's Plenty of Fish.
Oh, Plenty of Fish.
There's this other one, like, I don't know, but it's all over the place. You'll see it anytime you buy an app. It's all about, are you alone? people who buy apps, are they alone?
But I don't want to, discount that too, because I actually have, one of my cousins, she met her husband on the internet.
A lot of people I know.
And they're happily married now with a child,
successful.
Right? So there's a lot of successful friendships and whatnot that come out as a result of our social. The internet now has given us so much access, right, to everyone and everything. But as we have the positive, like with anything in our lives, we also have the negative. Because what spurred this show on initially was we were reading a news show. There was a violent reaction to someone who was unfriended on Facebook, and just amazing. What happened is, this is an American story, and this happened in February of 2012, February 8th, and a Tennessee man was charged with two counts of first-degree murder in the shooting deaths of a couple who had unfriended his 30-year-old daughter on Facebook. And
an unfriend.
That's right, just an unfriend. That's an extreme reaction to being unfriended. But I think it's a really interesting thing to talk about for our show too, because now that we are so social media connected, and some of us are actually obsessed with it, you know, always checking out our Facebook page or always checking out Twitter.
Well, this is kind of even like part two to our last show about technology.
There you go. Yeah. There you have. Well, I just wanted to sort of talk a little bit about friendship in general. Maybe Ash, you can start out, and you know, we've already introduced this idea of someone actually committing murder.
Well, I think that, you know, us as a society, always feel that friendships are not only important, but a lot of us base our own self-worth on who our friends are. And when you go on to leading it, you know, online, and it's see, what I don't understand about that story, I'm going to backtrack. What I don't understand about that story is being, like, online and having online friendships, even talking on MSN or AOL or Yahoo or whatever, it's less intimate than actually hanging out with somebody. So is that really pertaining to just being unfriended, or is the person crazy? Because if they do that to somebody online, what would they do to a person that they actually hang out with if the person doesn't even answer their phone or something?
Well, I think it's really important for us because we as musicians, it's not just about being, you know, catching up with old friends and finding people from our high school that we haven't talked to in a while. A lot of, like, the majority of our social media is about just exposing people to the band, exposing people to us and our philosophy, and that's sort of where we're coming from. Mm-hmm. That's why we have, you know, hundreds of friends as opposed to just a few. Mm-hmm. And most friends that I have on Facebook, I haven't met them. But I also have some kind of a connection with them, and it's usually music.
Yeah. Me too. Well, that's Facebook now. I mean, before, do you remember the days when, even before MySpace, you'd have Yahoo Messenger or MSN? And those were pretty big. I mean, you could have your Yahoo profile. I remember being like 13, 14, just starting to use the internet. I'm 27 now. Whoa.
27, wow.
Anyway. But, you know, it's...
You're getting up there.
It's really, really, really progressed. It's progressed a lot.
But I want to just sort of focus and go back again to this idea of friendship. And so we call... we'll use Facebook as an example. Okay. So we call the people that we are connecting with our friends.
Yeah.
Right? Facebook friends. This man was so enraged by his daughter, you know, apparently these people, he perceived them to be rejecting his daughter, that he murdered them because they were unfriending his daughter. Now, of course, we don't know
the whole story,
but this is what we're getting in the media. But and this is what we can get, because I think it's important for us to even share honestly what Facebook or Twitter or any kind of connection or sense of connection, how imperative and how pertinent and how important is it for any of us or each of us to feel that sense of we matter because people want to be our friends, we matter because people are following us on Twitter. It's almost that sense of identity that, hey, I have some kind of a purpose. Mm-hmm. I'm actually getting people who want to be my friend, and it feels good. I mean, that's the truth, isn't it? That it feels good to have someone ask to be your friend. It's not something that you're going, oh, go away, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole point is it's a social site, a social media. You want to socialize. You want to connect. You want to make connections. Mm-hmm. But there's also that opposite in that story, that slight or that sense of offense, deep offense, if someone says, hey, I don't want to be your friend anymore, and they unfriend you. And I just want to talk about that a little bit, because mm-hmm. I think it's important that we explore the emotion around it, because there's some kind of expectation. And this is why even in the blurb, when we're talking about friendship, there's a difference between a really deep friendship, an intimate friendship, and a casual acquaintance.
Yeah.
And I think what happens is that the lines get blurred, and that with regards to that story, mm-hmm. that the lines were blurred. It was taken in such a way that someone is not really even standing, dare I say it, standing on their own and not feeling offended. You know, Wayne Dyer talks about take no offense ever. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And yet we're very easily offended, I think, as a society. We can be very easily offended. And if there's no dialogue, you know, like Don Miguel Ruiz in the Four Agreements talks about, always ask questions, never be afraid to ask questions, because it's important for us to understand the where's and the why's and the why's and the wherefores of anything that happens. And so you don't have dialogue, you only have an action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
So someone's left with trying to ponder and wonder why it was done. And you know how our thoughts can actually become quite crazy.
Well, they can. I mean, you can, if you don't have a good mental backbone and you keep having all these thoughts thoughts that talk yourself in circles. You don't know what to believe and what to not believe anymore. You don't know what's sanity and what's not sanity, and you end up just screwing everything up. Because it's you don't have a basis. Like, having a friendship with yourself, I think, is the most important thing for you to have friendships with other people.
And that's where we start. We start with having a friendship with yourself. And the importance of, you know, we hear about this too, importance of self-love. Before mm-hmm. we can even actually give love to others, we actually have to have a sense of self-love. And,
definitely.
And we actually, how do we be our own friends? So can you explain that? Maybe just talk about friendship with yourself.
I love hanging out with myself. I have such an awesome time. It's so awesome. Like, this is my typical day if I'm hanging out with myself and I'm not working or anything. Okay. Wake up. Maybe play a little bit with Tony Hawk. Me and Tony Hawk hang out. And then I hang out with myself. Usually I cook some breakfast, maybe, you know, listen to some music with myself. And we talk. We share really deep things. And it's all about feeling comfortable with yourself. And not just because it's, I mean, you have, like, you know how hard it is. I was thinking of this the other day. You know how hard it is sometimes to tell somebody something really personal, like super, super personal. I mean, you're just, okay, I don't know if I can do it. I'm seriously, no. Okay. Yeah, I'm ready. No. it's the same thing with yourself. And I think that the best way to reach out and have connections with other people and get good at that is by not lying to yourself, by being honest with yourself. Because if you can't be honest with yourself and hang out with yourself, you're really not going to be that good at hanging out with other people, and you're not going to really be good at being honest with them. So hang out with yourself and not just, you know, I don't know, do things that you like to do. That's not what it's about. It's feeling good about yourself. It's like, it's knowing that you yourself would be somebody that you'd want to hang out with.
And that starts with that goes back to self-love, right?
Self-love.
Having a sense of self and
definitely.
Self-love. I think we're generally a society that lacks self-love. I mean, it shows even in the amount of medication that we're all that we seem to be all taking and around antidepressants and anti-anxiety medications and whatnot. And not to say that there's times and places where those medications are necessary. I'm not discluding that. But I think what's happened is we've become
too dependent
and over-medicated and over-reliant on, most of us just want to get out of ourselves.
I know.
And that's what medication is, and that's what drugs are. And I just celebrated 14 years clean and sober, and that was, thanks. I'm only bringing that up because
I had cheesecake.
And I had a wonderful day, actually. And, the thing is that I used to depend on drugs and things outside myself to feel better about myself, because I just had a sense of, I just really didn't, it bottom line is it was self-loathing. And a lot of it is because of what I perceived was what I should be, instead of just celebrating who I was. And, you know, a lot of us are completely inundated with, for example, magazine images. I was a model for many years, and I did, you know, kind of unhealthy things to stay slim. I was naturally slender, but I had to stay even more slender than even my natural slender, my natural propensity for being slender. And it's not healthy. I mean, and then we're told that that's what beauty is. And so we buy into it. And then I would be actually, I'll just use that as an example. I was, then I became obsessed with my weight, and I was obsessed with exercise. So it wasn't only about eating or not eating. It was also, you know, calorie counting. I had my calorie book. If I ate a donut in a day, that's all I would eat for the whole day, because I already used up my calories. I was obsessed with exercise. I actually became an exercise and aerobic instructor. I was in the gym 5 and 6 hours a day. I was bodybuilding a bit, and I just was obsessed with my physical appearance, because I attached a lot of my self-worth to how I looked, and I wanted to look like what I saw in the magazines and in on film and in television shows. And little do we know all the, you know, what really happens, what goes into being that thin or being that fit. And so, you know, in my own life, it's just about finding balance and being okay with redefining my idea of what is beautiful. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you're talking about having a friendship with yourself, and we talk about self-love and how they coexist. And I was not a good friend to me.
Yourself. Well, I mean,
I was a nasty friend. I had really lousy head thoughts that were just basically telling me I was never good enough, and you know, driving me
insane.
Well, literally insane, but driving me to do things that weren't necessarily healthy choices for me, right? Well,
even for your friends, though. I mean, that's a really good indication, like how you would treat your friends. Provided you're a good person, you should treat yourself. Like, I mean, if I had a best friend who, you know, obviously is not the same as me or not what I want for myself, it's harder. Like you're telling yourself, oh, I don't, you know, I have to do this, I have to do that. Would you be telling your friend that? Like, oh, I can't be your friend because, oh, you had a frickin' donut. You're stupid. Now you can't hang out with me because you're not going to be able to have anything for the rest of the day. You have to really treat yourself as if you were not in your own head, but sometimes outside of yourself.
Yeah, but I think what happens, you know, we're so self-critical that we can actually, a lot of us can actually push it out there.
Oh, yeah. Some
and become critical of each other. And a lot of self-criticism becomes judgment of others. And it just becomes a loop, like this, mm-hmm. this hamster wheel that just is continuous. So what do we have to do to stop that? What approaches do we need to stop that? So what did I do? I just basically said, smarten up. I had to learn a new way of believing and thinking and understanding. And it's not something that happens overnight, but it starts with being open-minded and willing mm-hmm. to take a look at whatever it is that is causing us not to be good friends with ourselves and be honest about it. Instead of pretending that something's not occurring, you know, taking a look at what is occurring and reaching out and asking for a little bit of help or a little bit of guidance. And you're going to pick and choose, too, because not everybody's going to have really great, I don't know, suggestion or advice. But you get a sense of picking and choosing, and you eventually intuitively will know what works for you. But if you feel, if you're lying in bed at night and you can't stop your thoughts, you're just feeling like you're just overwhelmed with thinking and thoughts and worry and self-judgment and self-criticism, Susan Cameron, in her book, The Artist's Way, talks about that being your critic, you know, and that voice in your head that maybe even comes from your first grade teacher that said you couldn't draw, you know?
Like the kindergarten teacher, Mrs. Bowman, who said I didn't cut with scissors right.
There you go. See? You remember. Isn't that something? You remember her name?
She? Okay. The other teacher, who was the assistant, had one tooth. I'll never forget it, okay? And she said, I couldn't cut with scissors properly and I need more practice. I worked so freaking hard. And then she put that on my report card. Okay, I didn't mean to splash Antonia in the water station. I was upset.
Oh, we just got a text. It says, thank you, CC Smith, for the amazing gifts. XO, so nice to see you and Ash. That's from Annie Kidd. Hi, Annie Kidd, if you're listening to our show. You are more than welcome. For your gifts, we actually spent time with friends today.
Yes, we did.
We celebrated the impending marriage of a good friend of ours, a fabulous woman, a great musician, really cool lady, Annie Kidd. And yeah, so here we are. We're talking about friends and you're getting a text while we're talking about friends.
And I'm touching the dog. And that's friendship. He's a real boy.
He's a really hairy boy.
He's a really hairy child. But we love him and it's our friendship. That brought him, you know?
Yeah. We, and I was really looking forward to this show because I have a lot of ideas about friendships because we've really touched on the importance of being a friend on our own. But yes, of course, we definitely want to have friendships with others and that we can, they act as anchors in a way too. Their friends can be very grounding. They can be, you know, just, they're supportive. They offer.
They can also let you down.
They definitely can let you down. And I've had a lot of experience with friends letting me down. But who hasn't?
Mm-hmm.
Right? But let's just talk about the positives of friendships yeah. because that's part of the show that we're talking about. What are the expectations around friendships?
Well, I think that depends on what kind of relationship you're having. I mean, I actually think, I was talking about this with somebody the other day, that the best thing you can bring to a relationship is friendship. It's not like the passion or the romance, it's the friendship. Because when the passion is kind of waning a little bit, and you still have that friendship, it's going to pull you through. And I think that's a huge testament to how important friendship is even in a marriage or even in a partnership. To have that friendship, aside from even being in a business or whatever, it's going to pull you through the times of hardships. That's why I think friendship's important.
Yeah, but what is friendship? I mean, we talk about, I mean, we touched on the Facebook aspect of, you know, there's someone who took offense to being unfriended to the point of murder, which is absolutely crazy.
Insane.
And insane and not a balanced way to be. But that means that someone is affected by being unfriended. And say, how about in relationship to friends and even when you have a real friendship? And friendships change.
Mm-hmm.
They change over time. I mean, our lives change. Our circumstances change. I'm sure everybody can relate. I mean, the friends that you had in the high school probably aren't your friends now. I mean, someone may have kept some high school buddies, but mostly people kind of go their own path and go their own way. And I mean, you have a beautiful friendship with Casey.
Well, yeah, Casey and I was my best friend. Well, still is my best friend, along with Cece.
So you can have more than one best friend.
Yes, exactly.
That's another thing. Everybody has to realize you can have more than one best friend. And you don't even have to say best, best, or bestest.
Yeah, it's just my best friend.
You just say, here's my best friend, and here's my other best friend.
But she moved away, so now when I say best friend, people go, oh, Cheryl. But, yeah, exactly. But still, I mean, yeah, Casey and I met in kindergarten because she puked on herself. And she was, like, so embarrassed. So I got her my extra jogging suit from my cubby. And so I gave it to her, and then we became best friends.
And that was when you were what, 5 years old?
Five.
Isn't that something?
Well, we were kind of just acquaintances. We grew closer. But the cool thing about, like, what I want to say, what friendship is not possessive, I don't think, but friendship is really allowing somebody to basically want to be under your wing. Like, not forcing them to be. And I think that that's one of the things I appreciate most about Casey is that we just had each other's backs. No one's forcing, oh, you're my best friend. You have to be my best friend. Oh, why are you hanging out with that person? That person sucks. It's about allowing the growth of each person. And I think that's what causes people to grow together. I mean, that's, like, Cheryl and I, since we met, we've been super close because there's just something you know, special about the way we communicate too, the way we create together. And
well, plus we really, there's a kind of this understanding of each other. We have a very similar communication style.
Yeah.
And so that helps a lot because there's no awkwardness. It's almost
and we never
like
get
it was,
sick of each other.
It was like, it was effortless but not all friendships are effortless.
No, but we do, what I was saying even about Casey, is that's what you and I bring to each other, too. We allow each other to grow. Like, I mean, you know, I'm not going to be the kind of person that's like, oh my God, you have a boyfriend! We can never hang out again! Will you choose him or me? You know, like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not that kind of person. Or, you know, it's like, a lot of people have been like that. Like, I mean, Casey just had a baby. She's married. Well, not married. She's going to get married. And it's that, you know, she's moved away, and that's what I think put a strain on us, because I don't get to see her as much anymore. But, I mean, it's really important that as friendship changes, you allow it to. Because, I mean, I could be calling her on the phone, why the heck did you move away? You really screwed us all up. It's going, okay, you know what? I really honor who you are and what you need, and I'm not going anywhere.
Well, you know, the beautiful thing is, too, and both Ash and I are really big believers in spirit, in divine path, and divine plan, and for each of us, not just for our own selves, but for all of you out there too. But the beauty of it, and you've mentioned this to me before, is that you felt that once Casey had moved away, then it's like universe, spirit, whatever you choose to call it, kind of plants me in your path.
Well, I know it was so weird too. Like, as soon as Casey moved away, the world was like, here's Cheryl,
that's exactly
for
what
you.
Yeah, that's exactly what the world did. They sang it.
Yeah, I know. That's what it was like. It was like, here is a great friend on a gold platter, and you can decide, you know, what you two will do together. Will it be music? Will it be spirituality? And then I was like, you know what? Gold platter, I'm going to do all of that stuff.
Yeah, and so we've connected creatively. We've connected as friends. We're giving each other space to have, you know, other relationships, other friends, because friendship isn't exclusivity. Friendship isn't selfishness. I mean, it's the same. You could talk about the same. You know, you talk about marriage and people in marriages. I think sometimes people think that everything has to be exclusive, and I'm not talking about, you know, being unfaithful or whatever. That's a whole different thing. I'm talking about just there doesn't have to be selfishness in any relationship, because once selfishness becomes part of the relationship, then you're kind of on your path to it not being about friendship anymore. Yeah, exactly. It's just about being self-involved and possessing something or someone, and there should be no fear, because love isn't about fear. If in fact we feel a sense of connection to somebody, we would only want them to have the best and what's best. And yeah, sure, sometimes it can hurt. Like, for example, you're mentioning the boyfriend thing. Sometimes it can affect you if other people are involved or become involved in your life, mm-hmm. Or in your friend's life. But it doesn't have to mean that you lose out. Mm-hmm. But compromise is definitely needed, because suddenly the time is being taken up, mm-hmm. you know, in other ways too. So it's just, again, it's a goal. It comes back to communication. It comes back to surrender. It comes back to acceptance. And it's always, always, always about love.
Yeah, exactly. It's always about love. And you know what else? It's about calling us.
And that's a loving thing to do.
BBS Station 1. Call-in numbers, please, please, please call us at 888-627-6008. And call us, please, on March 11th. It's 7:29 p.m. And I think it would be great to hear from you if you call, you know, again, with the hugs.
Yes, Ash loves to send out cyber hugs. And she's really great with her love and her hugs.
And
so.
Dream Heights. Also, yes. I'd like to publicly state, all you friends, please get the app Dream Heights, okay? Dream Heights is the best game ever. You build a tower and employ people. Anyway, there's something called a sky bridge. And when I go on the sky bridge, it lets me connect with people who have Dream Heights, and you can get hearts. Those hearts are like money. I need your hearts. Please join and give me your hearts. If you do, you'll get a free MP3 of a hologram song of your choice.
There you go. I mean, I don't know what is better for motivation than that. So call in again, 888-627-6008 is the toll-free number in Canada and the U.S. And you know, I didn't do what I didn't do.
Ash. I know. I see what you're doing.
I didn't tell everybody we're having our show tonight. I got caught up in my day. Not only did we go to Annie's shower, but we also jammed. We were jamming and playing a lot of music and then had a beautiful barbecue dinner. And I forgot to Facebook and tweet about our show. So
you know what I would like to say?
What?
About friendship?
Friendship. You gotta have friendship.
Friendship is like this, okay? It's not about something to take or change. Like, okay. So I have an idea popped into my head, and I want to address this. Friendship, even if, say, you're don't want to be friends with somebody anymore, okay? Or say you break up with them.
You break up with your friend?
Okay, well, say you're with somebody awesome, and they're your friend, too. And you just, like, say you have this awesome relationship, and you still, like, had a really good friendship in your relationship, okay? Say you had a boyfriend or whatever you have, okay? Say you're romantically involved with somebody and you have a friendship, a really great friendship within that relationship. And then you break it off and you all of a sudden hate that person? WTF, man. It's lame. And that's all I gotta say.
Well, that doesn't mean it was never really based in love.
Well, because I'm seeing people all over the place on Facebook or whatever. It's like, it says someone went from being in a relationship to single, and then everyone's like, WTF, LMFAO, right? And then they're saying, and then all of a sudden all their statuses are about dissing somebody. Well, come on, if you can go from loving somebody and pledging absolute devotion to somebody, and then all of a sudden it's just, you treat them like absolute crap. That's bullshit.
But that's not love.
That's not love. What it never was.
And I agree with you. I mean, again, this is, again, the intrinsic value of friendship, all right? And just the basis of love and love in all things. And if we're hurt by somebody not being in our lives anymore, it doesn't give us permission to start trying to destroy them or to, you know, maybe even be untrue with our own selves and saying that we don't feel, you know, trying to slander them or take them down and talk to other people about them in a negative way. It doesn't serve anybody. It doesn't even serve ourselves. We think we're feeling freedom because we can, you know, maybe vent off some steam and say some really nasty things about someone.
You don't trash somebody afterwards.
No, you don't. And I mean, but how many people do? So many people do because of pain. You know that saying, hurt people, right? Mm-hmm. I still don't think that it gives permission to hurt people. But a lot of us still kind of lash out. But you know what? Again, karmically, you know, it means that someone's in a lot of pain themselves, they're already suffering, right?
Or it could be like an insecurity. Like, imagine, like, maybe, like, you're telling somebody while you're in a relationship with them, you know, you're so beautiful or you're so talented. And then they break up with you and they're like, you have no talent. And you sucked at this, you know?
I know. Like, but that's just, again, what do you believe? Do you believe the first one or the second one? When you're dealing with people in relationships like that, there's a lot of problems. There's a lot of issues with the person themselves, that they don't know themselves, that they don't mm-hmm. have a sense of self-love, that they... So if they don't know themselves, then how can they be a friend to you if they're not even a friend to themselves?
Well, that's what I was going to bring it back to, is that, you know, the one thing that I really, really do believe about Christianity, even, is that it's to turn the other cheek. But, I mean, of course that can be helpful, but sometimes it can't. But I've really exercised that, is that even when somebody's really hurting me, I don't get vengeful. And no matter if it's a friend that I've had for a long time or a friendship that's starting that just doesn't really work out, it's, I really, like, do unto others as you, you know, have done
As you would want them to do unto you, exactly.
That's always meant so much to me. And even without having that phrase in my head, that's really a way I've lived life. And I want to recommend that because that's worked for me unlike anything else, is even when somebody is absolutely ripping my heart out, it's not that I cower away, it's just that I find a way to pick myself up instead of hurting them, and then it's harder to pick two people up than one. Or it's harder to, you know, fix something that's shattered rather than just cracked. So...
Well, I would say that's because you're such a... You come from love, Ash. It's one of the things that someone was asking me what it is that I saw in you. Actually, a friend of ours was asking me what I thought about you. Like, it was really cool actually to have him ask me, what is it about Ash that you, why is she your best friend? Mm-hmm. And it was really cool to answer it, because the first thing that came out of my mouth was just how loving you are. Like, you are a very loving person. You give a lot of love. Mm-hmm. You don't cause harm. I've seen a lot of harm be caused to you. I've actually, as your friend, I've seen some people try to hurt you, and I've seen some people who are angry at you because they perceive that you hurt them, but only because you've said that you wanted to maybe have some space or whatnot. Mm-hmm. But irregardless, like, you felt the pain, you felt the frustration, you felt the sense of whether it was betrayal or, you know, you kind of like the WTF moments where you're going, where's that coming from? Mm-hmm. I don't deserve that. And you know you don't. But one thing I've always seen in you is just this beautiful, you just stay in the love. And I mean, of course you have to express yourself, right? But you don't lash out. Like, you'll express yourself to me or to your mom or to Casey or to another friend, right? Mm-hmm. But you won't go back to that person and try to tear them down too. And I think that's commendable. I think most of us automatically our reaction is if someone's yelling in your face, you want to yell back, right? But yeah, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Like, the reason why we wanted to talk about this subject, Ash and I, of friendship, is not only because we feel very strong in our own friendship, but we've also have other friendships that have changed. We've had, in the last probably year and a half, there's been a lot of really odd things happening around friendships in terms of people just, how do you say it?
Revealing true colors.
Even. Well, yeah, I think that's what's happening is a lot of times you can only hold up something for so long, but I'm always really strongly, and I've said this to my real estate agent the other day. This is true. I said, I look at people's words and I see if it matches the action. Mm-hmm. And you know, you can have somebody say, "Oh man, I miss you. It's been so long.
Let's get together.
I'll call you on the weekend. I need to see you." And then no call, or "Oh, I'm sorry. You know, I got caught up in this and I got caught up in that. My life's so busy. My life's this and that." And I just think it's quite rude. In all honesty, because it's not even real. I would much rather have someone say to me, "Hey, it's really great to see you, and my life is really hectic, and I know I haven't contacted you, and it probably won't happen in the next while," because maybe even someone's gotten themselves new friends or new stuff is going on in their life, and they don't. We only have so much time, so we can't just be giving our time away.
I've had to be that person.
What do you mean?
I've had to be that person that says to people lately, "You know, things are just really crazy and I can't see you this week," or "I can't, you know, think I'll shoot you a text when I get some time," or "Hey, you know, I'll email you," or something like that, or, "You know, when I get a chance, I'll call you."
But bottom line is I don't think a lot of people are sincerely honest.
No, they're not.
I think most people are afraid of honesty, and we've got to get back to honesty, people. And it doesn't mean that you're going to hurt somebody's feelings because you're saying, you don't have to be blunt. I mean, I love Deepak Chopra. He says, you ask yourself three questions when you're going to share something with someone. You go, is it true? Is it kind? And is it necessary? So even if anything is going to be shared, say, for example, you're not really interested in spending time with a friend anymore. Well, you can just say, "You know what? My life has moved in a different direction," or "We're not connecting in the same way that we used to," or "Your life has moved in a different direction. And I don't feel that." You know, again, it's about allowing people to just let them be. Mm-hmm. And it's not about telling any kind of relationship to be a certain way. It's just about letting things go. You know that saying, if you love something, let it go, and if it's yours. Exactly. It's kind of the same thing even in friendships. And you know how I have friends that I may not even see for years, literally years. And then as soon as I reconnect, there's a sense of there's been no time that has been lost in between. You know, so much has happened for both of us, but there's that sense of sudden connection and you're just in the moment with them and going, "Wow, this feels really good. I love my friendship. I love the way I feel when I'm around you." And I think that's another important thing about friendship is how do you feel around them?
Yeah.
How do you feel?
Just pay attention to the energy.
Exactly. And it's so important that friends as friends, it's not about taking. I think some of us think, well, if you want to be my friend, what do you got to give me? What do you have for me, right? Mm-hmm. It's about... Obviously, it's about giving as well, but it's an exchange. And are you even interested in giving and exchanging with that particular individual? And when you're with them, one of my indicators of who I personally decide I want to hang out with is it a shared interest?
Yeah, that's
because
true.
To me, there's nothing worse than just talking to somebody and all I do for, say, 5-10 minutes is hear about them.
Mm-hmm. I know.
And it's really important for all of us, I think, to share, to go back and forth, to ask questions. I used to teach modeling and personal development courses. I taught at two different schools. I taught Elizabeth Leslie and I taught at John Casablancas, and I was a model with Casablancas, and he originated in New York. But when I was teaching, I taught etiquette as part of what I taught. And we talked conversational skills. So it was really cool because I got to teach anywhere from age 6 to, I think my oldest student was in her 60s.
Wow.
It was cool. And
me how to hold a knife.
I could teach you more. I have to back away because sometimes, you know, people get offended when I start getting all like, this is etiquette, right? But anyway, I was talking, we talked, conversation was part of the lesson and the importance of asking people questions about themselves. And that's important, but you also want to feel that they're interested enough in you and asking you questions in return.
Yeah.
And it's always better not to have the yes-no questions. It's always better to have questions that require a bit of, you know, a sentence or a paragraph in answer. But I really pay attention to how much people – I'll get them going, and I enjoy talking to people and listening to their stories. Yet I also recognize in myself that I'm waiting after a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm waiting for some kind of, and what about you? Or, and what do
you... Well, you've heard about me. Well, listen to me go on. Why don't you tell me a little bit about you?
And that's just personally, that's sort of where I'm at. I think it's probably where we're all at, because we're interested in each other, but we want somebody to be genuinely interested in us. And nobody likes to be talked at.
I can't stand that.
Nobody likes to be talked at. We all just want to be able to share a moment, share a conversation. I get really excited when I'm in a situation where I'm meeting new people and I get to talk about really cool stuff, because that helps me to feel more connected to them, to the world, to the similarities between us as opposed to the differences. And, I don't know. I honestly get excited. I get excited meeting new people and talking to new people. And then there's times where I'm going, okay, I'm done.
Me too.
I'm going, okay.
I've been places with you, I can honestly say, and I can see your done face. You're just like you just look away, and then you kind of go, you breathe kind of just labored for a second, and then you're like, okay, so...
I'm not trying to be labored, so I feel badly, because I don't ever want to be rude.
Yeah, but you don't do it in... I only know because I'm your best friend. People don't see it. You haven't offended anybody.
Well, I guess I have a ceiling. I probably have, I don't know, maybe a 5-6 minute ceiling?
Maybe less.
Do you think it's less?
Yeah. I do think it's a little less. It is. It's like, seriously, remember when we were at the coffee house and that guy sat down with us? I won't say his name, but, and you're just like, okay. Like, I could see you just kind of like look away, and then I'm going to go pee. You just like go inside and go to the bathroom.
And I leave you with him.
Or you just like get in there and just, you know, it's actually pretty awesome. You guys should come along and hang out with us. And talk and just see if you can get it out of her.
If you can get what out of me?
If you can get the
oh, the
yeah.
What's the oh, the heavy sigh.
But it's not it's not noticeable. Like, let's just see. Let's play a game and see when can you make Cheryl hit her ceiling.
Well, yeah, if you talk about yourself for an extended period of time, I'll hit my ceiling pretty quickly. I think that's another thing about aging and life experience, is that you get more of a sense of yourself, and you get more, it's kind of like experience. You're just used to, certain things, and you go, okay, we're going down this road again.
Well, it's a letdown too, if you're always the one giving, and then, you know, what the heck can you do when somebody's just like, it's almost like you feel like saying, oh, thanks, I'm doing quite well, when they don't ask you.
I will purposely do that, though, because I want someone to see and understand that they haven't asked me the question. It's a bit cheeky, but it's kind of my personality anyway.
You're cheeky, but I love you. You know what? You said what I love about you, love about me. I love about her that everywhere that I feel like I don't have the balls to react to, or I don't have the balls to stand up for myself, her example really, really has helped me. I don't take as much shit now that you're my best friend. And it's not because you defend me, but it's because you've taught me that what's it really, really going to serve to just not speak up.
I think it's important for all of us to speak up and talk about how we truly feel. And it's not just about me kind of throwing my weight around. It's just, I will listen and be there, but as soon as I feel that someone is not respecting me or not being open-minded to something, that's when I start being a little bit more firm, maybe, in my voice or my presentation.
Now, tell them that there's 12 minutes left, and if they want to call.
There's 12 minutes left, and if you want to call. Not that Ash couldn't have mentioned that herself.
I thought it was funny to do it. Tell you.
Now we have 11 minutes. I just wanted to sort of wind this down and say, I think the important thing with friendship, first of all, is that for me, I'm going to share from my own personal experience. One thing I learned is when I was younger and I was very insecure, there's a lot of insecurity in the way that I felt about myself. And I shared a little bit about that, you know, around the body image, whatnot, but it goes deeper than that. And there was more going on, but I felt there was something that told me that I wasn't good enough. So I overcompensated and I would talk a lot about myself. And I've changed that approach completely. Now I'm more interested in listening. I really truly am interested in talking to somebody about them because I find people fascinating. And I quickly realize and I can pull out things quite quickly that we have in common or that we can talk about or that we share. Mm-hmm. And then the conversation itself becomes quite interesting. But that's one of the things is a lot of it is we talked about just having a friendship on our own within ourselves, mm-hmm. loving ourselves first, and then sort of branching off from there. You know, if you think of yourself as like the center of the sun and then the rays are coming out and those are the friendships, right? Mm-hmm. Those are the friendships that we make and we can, you know, the inner essence of us, the sun, the love that we are and that we have for ourselves can actually be quite powerful and pull other people in. But I would just say the importance of friendship is to be a good friend and to recognize that you also deserve to have a good friend.
Of course.
I think that if you ever are feeling or any of us are feeling that we're not being respected in a friendship or that we're not being maybe even cared for because friendship requires nurturing. And that means nurturing of time, energy, you know, the energy of being together, the energy of intimacy with regards to how we speak to each other, the energy of enjoying each other's company, the energy of showing that we're interested in each other. It's not just about serving ourselves, that we can kind of take and feel that we matter because someone cares about us. I think it's really important to also allow friendships to evolve, to grow, to change, like you have done with Casey.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely.
And there's times when you let them go because like there are relationships, I like that saying, with each relationship, it could be for now, for a season, or for a lifetime. And we have to see that with friendship too. And knowing when the friendship has run its course, knowing when it's whatever purpose that the friendship served for both persons has come to an end, there's something you take with you always. You'll always take the love. You'll always take the experience. You'll always take the shared just the shared joy, you know, the shared learning, whatever it was, with you to every and all experiences after that. But it's not such a bad thing to let friends go and or to be let go. So here we are back to the Facebook unfriending. And I can share quite honestly, I have had friends that I reconnected with, hadn't seen or heard from in many, many years and was friends with them on Facebook thinking, oh, this is really cool. We can, you know, sort of pick up where we left off. And it didn't go that way.
Yeah, it's like putting that expectation on it.
So, you know, allowing it to be what it is instead of telling it what it should be, right?
And being just so disappointed when it's not the same as it used to be. Like, I've even got back together with friends that I haven't seen in a long time, and you're just kind of sitting there and looking at each other and smiling over a coffee and not knowing what to say, and then they're like, you're like, oh, do you want to have, you know, biscotti? Not really. Okay, how about a lemon square? I don't know. And then you're just like, okay, well, you know, I let's do this again sometime.
But that's not being honest.
Exactly, right? Like, that's what I mean.
You basically like, don't want to do it again.
It's being disappointed. It's allowing yourself to just let things happen rather than tell them what to be, like you said. And that's really important.
So did you want to share anything like with regards to your experience with friendships and anything that you know, you're talking about expectations? What would you, I kind of did a summary of what I see of friendship. Is there anything you'd like to just share with?
Well, I want to share where I went wrong and where I know that I've went wrong in friendships is that I let them. It's not that I was dishonest, because I've never, like, of course, everybody's been dishonest in friendships before, of course, like, I'm not a saint, but I have been too nice, where I have kind of strung people along and not really told them exactly what I think when I should have, or ended a friendship when I should have, and that's really kind of screwed me around a few times, just because I didn't want to be the bad guy. And I think that's the most important thing to do is if something's not working, tell them. If something is, then tell them. Because, I mean, the praise of somebody else is a really positive reinforcement. When you're saying, you know what, this is, everything. Like, you're such a great friend, and, you know, it really meant a lot to me when you brought me those special crystal rocks from the metaphysical store the other day. Yeah. Or, you know, you made me that lentil soup, and that was really, really sweet. Thank you. It's really important when you notice the small details, but it's also equally as important is if something's not working, if you feel taken for granted, that you speak up, because either it'll be rectified or the friendship will end, which is better off in the long run. And that's what I haven't done that in some cases where I really should have.
Well, it's also important to pay attention to your feelings. And when you end any relationship, even if it's a natural progression of ending, there are feelings around it. It's not just about letting a friendship go and feeling completely euphoric. A lot of times there's a lot of sadness and grieving around allowing a friendship to just not disappear, but change or dissipate, or, you know, just come to a gradual end. And I think it's really important that, number one, we always pay attention to sharing our feelings, like you're saying, as honestly as we can. But also, number two, don't expect that they're always going to be received in the way that you think they would be. Just be open-minded to the natural progression of life and living and the Tao and the flow. And if we always stay in the love, and even I've had friendships recently end where I felt that I was hurt, I've felt that I was disrespected, and I've had to, instead of just kind of focusing on the pain that was caused to me, I will just focus on the release of it, and also the release of my own feelings around it, which I have granted myself permission to feel. So if I need to cry about it, then I let myself cry. If I need to
talk to me,
or exactly, or rant. I mean, I've actually been so angry, I just have to have my own little rant. But it doesn't go farther than someone that I trust, and that it won't go to a place where it causes harm. So I really make efforts not to cause harm, to stay in the love. Not always easy, but for me, it's always the best, because in the end, when it's all said and done, I sure feel better that I haven't gone to that harm place, because I'm not going to live in that. And I want to say thank you, friends. We love you. We're going to end our show with our song, The Fusion, which is all about love and coming together, fusing together. Kiss your friends. Hug your friends. Love your friends. Tell them thank you. Be a good friend. And we love you.
Goodbye. I love you.
Bye.
Universe encompasses me, beneath the stars above the sea. Enthralled on earth watching you, knowing I have a part in this too. Faithlessly watching, wait for dim eyes, severing my old earthly disguise. Enthralled on earth watching you, knowing we have a part in this too. This is a world of illusion, so I honor all delusion. Be not baffled with exclusion, bring all love in for the fusion. Watch the wind blow power out, stronger than what we were of. Me, the forgotten thieves, pressed upon these autumn leaves. Angelic hosts be known to us, falling faster than we trust. Watch the circles born of light, speaking while we're all up all night. In a world of illusion, it serves us, yet we must come back to love.
Love,
the love revolution is within each and every one of us.
a knowing, a higher understanding. We all embrace it. All we have to do is accept the love fusion and say yes.
BBSRadio.com